Welcome to Cybersecurity Where You Are, the Center for Internet Security's podcast. I'm Sean Atkinson, CISO at CIS.
And I'm Tony Sager, Senior Vice President and Chief Evangelist at CIS. Cybersecurity affects us all, whether we're online at home, managing a company, supporting clients, or running a state or local government.
So join us on Wednesdays as we discuss trends and threats, explore security best practices, and interview experts in the industry.
Together, we'll clarify these issues, creating confidence in the connected world.
Hello, and welcome to the show, Cybersecurity Where You Are. I'm Sean Atkinson, CISO here at the Center for Internet Security, joined by the host with the most, the Hall of Famer, the difference maker, Mr. Tony Sager. How are you, sir?
Great, Sean, and great to be back.
Fantastic. We're joined by two very special guests, Brock and Maureen. Maureen, why don't we start, if you could give us an introduction to yourself.
Yeah, sure. So my name's Maureen Kurnick. I've been with Center for Internet Security for approximately 8 years. And throughout those 8 years here, I have worked with our member base on Secure Suite tools. I work with a team of engineers on those Secure Suite tools, and we take some of those lessons that we learn from the members and bring those features to life.
Fantastic. And Brock, please.
Hi, my name's Brock Boggs. I am in K-12 IT sector. I've worked my entire career actually in the K-12 sector doing IT work. I'm currently at Cityscape Schools, where I've been for the last 7 years. And anyone in K-12 IT understands that that means some days you're on the mountaintops, you know, shouting victory, and some days you're in the valley sweeping up at the end of the day. So that spans every department, that spans everything and everything you can't think of. As at some point, probably been sat in front of me and asked, can you help with this? So that's a little bit about me.
Fantastic. Wearing many hats there, Brock. And the reason we bring you both together is a paper that was written up formalizing K-12 cybersecurity policies in less time. And having read through and the work that both of you have done and the collaboration that we've identified here, I thought it's so interesting that we bring you both onto the podcast. And Brock, I wanted to start with you, if that's all right, to look at the formalization of security policies for Cityscape Schools. What was the prompting in that space? And then where did you get your first initial exposure to CIS and the MSISEC?
So the first real prompting of cybersecurity that I had even been aware of was in 2019, Texas passed Senate Bill 820 that required public school districts in the state of Texas, ISDs, Independent School Districts is the acronym they go by, to adopt a cybersecurity policy to measure risk and come up with ways to mitigate risk and to also assign a cybersecurity coordinator for every school district. Now, being I work in the we're in the public school sector, but our school district's actually a charter school. We were not required to follow that, but that does not mean that we should not also examine where we were at, come up with a baseline for cybersecurity. And so that's kind of the startings of it. But then the real catapulting into the district deciding to move forward was when a neighboring school district got hit with ransomware. And that's when I got to learn what ransomware was at that time. Because, you know, as an IT director, you're just bumbling through and trying to fix things to get things working. And in a small school, you don't have a team, really. You and one other person, mostly. School got hit by ransomware. And I'll never forget, my superintendent sat me down, told me, hey, so this district down the street got hit with ransomware. We need you to figure out cybersecurity and secure our school. Okay, let me know how that goes. So, you know, being in a background of IT, the only real anything I had knew about securing schools was you should probably have an antivirus. It wasn't even EDR at that point. You know what I mean? It's like, what's McAfee? I'll never forget. Years ago, we had a school district, the first school district I ever worked for. You know, we finally got a little bit of money and we could afford to buy an AV product. And then we had to get it on all of our computers. And we finally got it on all of our computers. And then I remember just a short time later, I get a call. Take it off. Take it off. You've got to take this AV off right now. We rolled out Kaspersky. If anyone, yeah, there you go.
Excellent. That but the was, price was right.
The price was very, couldn't say no until the government said no. So we got it off promptly, but that was the only exposure I had ever had in this world. And that was a decade before probably 2019. Could you repeat that second question? Sorry, I got lost in my story.
No, fantastic. It's awesome. I love the story, Brock. It's fantastic. But where was your initial exposure to CIS and the MSI sec?
Oh, okay. So I got handed this small task of securing your school with absolutely no background in cybersecurity. I had just recently started my job as an IT director. I had grown up from literally a tech when I started to over desktop support to over project management. So I've grown in my career. So I've been handed this small task of cybersecurity. I would be lying if I didn't say I panicked, probably on the outside and on the inside, because I don't have very much of a poker face. So it was like, okay. There wasn't, you know, too much ChatGPT going around saying, hey, can you do this for me? So it was Google. That was about it. And I started Googling. And then if I wasn't overwhelmed before, kind of like when you Google medical diagnoses and now you're dying. Well, don't go Googling cybersecurity for schools, because then you're going to die as well. You might as well hand over the keys now kind of deal. So that's how I felt like. But unfortunately, I won't use the joke fortunately, because what came next a few months later was the COVID-19 pandemic that hit all of us. So that immediately pumped whatever little traction I might have made. And basically, I just panicked for a couple of months and then COVID hit. So that, having no team, that really put the majority of this off about a year, year and a half before I could really come back around. To start again, get right back where I started, which was panicking. So I picked up right where I left off. And but then after that, I just started trying to find resources. And anything that had no cost in the title, you know,
love it,
man, I felt drawn to those. You know what I mean? Those spoke to me, because
it matched your budget.
It matched the budget. I was only given a declaration of do this. I was not given a budget to do this, which is good, because I didn't know what to do with anything anyway. So I remember, y'all, I signed up from, and there's the Texas draw, so you're going to hear that in this conversation. But I remember signing up for anything I could that was no cost. I signed up with CIS. I got signed up with MSISAC. Somehow I got into like a Homeland Security group. I still don't even know how I got in. I remember talking with a guy and he was like, how did you get in there? And I'm like, I don't know. I just, here I am. But I signed up for all this stuff. But since there was no plan, I didn't know what I was doing. I had all these resources, and now everyone so kindly is emailing me. And I don't know what any of them are talking about. And they're I will help you and just do this. And I'm like, oh gosh, now I have too much information. So I kind of put the pause on all these things, and I tried building a cybersecurity program on my own. I spent about probably 6 months. I went to what I now know is NIST. I didn't know what frameworks were. I didn't know anything. I just did what Google told me to do. And I got a policy template that was based off of NIST, which you don't ever want to just go straight into NIST when you have no idea what you're doing, because if you weren't nervous before, you'd be a train wreck afterwards. Not that it's not a great framework, but I had no baseline. And so I spent 6 months trying to build this program. It absolutely flopped. I was defeated. I knew I didn't know what I was doing. And then I proved I didn't know what I was doing to myself. And to my superintendent. I remember handing him it had to have been close to a 100-page cybersecurity manual I worked 6 months on. And it was like all of 5 minutes flipping through. Yeah, I don't think we're going to be able to do that. I mean, all I asked for was $80,000 and follow this 100-page manual. What else? What did I expect to happen? You know?
Right. We call that a self-denial of service attack.
I did a self-DDoS right in my face. And so I went back and I tried to find someone to help me. And that's when, it's so funny, I signed up for MSISAC and CIS again. I totally forgot about them from 6 months ago. It was the same person that tried helping me 6 months ago. Her name is Kim. She's just the most wonderful person. And she reached out. Yeah, I'd be happy to help. I don't know if you remember, I reached out 6 months ago and I'm still here to help you with anything you need. And so that was my first exposure, was Kim reaching back out to me saying, I'm here and I'm here to help. Let's talk and figure out what you need and where we can start.
Pretty amazing story of literally starting from scratch. So before you got your first ransomware attack, you had the self-denial of service. And I think, but you know, your point's not an important one, Brock, which is most of the resources, especially from the federal government side, right, are designed for organizations that are not K-12. I mean, they're designed for enterprises, you know, where there's an IT staff and security people, and they know what a policy is, right? And they churn these things out by the score. And I think that really speaks to the nature of cybersecurity. That is, you're a frontline defender, whether you knew it or not, right? And you figured it out as soon as your neighbor got hit. But Maureen, for your work, though, so most of the structure was designed for traditional enterprise, but what makes K-12 unique? What is it that you see when you look at that community and say, you know, here's their needs?
Yeah, sure. So K-12, typically, as Brock was sort of mentioning, often has IT personnel in there who wear many hats, and they're very busy, and they're also now tasked to secure their systems. And so in order to help end users like that, it's really important that the tools be simple to use and have something be simple, easy to pick up with very little training. And that's kind of where I come in. So right around the time Brock was sort of experiencing all of his troubles in 2021, 2022, I was doing a good deal of interviews of people just like Brock, who had very little time, maybe not a lot of experience in cybersecurity, but now are tasked to implement protections in their organization against cyber attack. Not knowing where to start, you know, just coming to CIS and looking for some help, some direction, and just kind of trying it themselves and sort of hit and miss in different places. And so we talked to a lot of those organizations and we learned a lot. And we spent 2022, 2023 kind of improving the tools. And one of the significant changes that we made was taking our SysCap Pro dashboard, which allows you to visualize the configuration assessments that are produced by SysCap Pro Assessor, and make that a better experience, at least in the installation side of things. And so how I ended up meeting Brock was I was doing a webinar sort of debuting that new version of the tool that installed everything all at once. And in those webinars, typically I would ask questions of the audience via polls. And one of those questions is, hey, can you spare an hour, you know, with a product manager and talk about your experience with the tools? And Brock happened to attend that webinar and said, yeah, I'll do that. I have no idea what I'm doing, so I definitely need to talk to someone. And also kind of at the same time, Kim and her team were kind of looking to get more involved with the K-12 group. And they had a K-12 working group session that they were doing monthly. And they happened to approach me sometime in February of 2023, I want to say, and said, hey, I think it'd be great if we could have a special guest webinar and hear about a member's experience with the Secure Suite tools. And they asked, you know, have you talked to anyone like that? Do you have anyone like that? And so I just kind of went through my list of of those who had signed up to talk to me to see if I had any K-12s in there, and Brock's name popped up. And so Kim and I scheduled a call with Brock and said, hey, do you want to try Secure Suite Tools? And would you work with us? And we'll talk to you about your journey and maybe share that information to help others in the K-12 community. And he said yes. And
boy, did I.
And here we are.
The price was right.
That's right. The price is perfect.
The price was right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So, well, we're going to take a quick break, but I'm going to come back. I want to talk more about Brock's journey and Maureen, how we helped Brock on that journey. So we'll be right back.
Are you a U.S. state, local, tribal, or territorial government?
If so, you know just how difficult cyber defense can get.
You're the frontline defense against cyber threats, yet you don't have the shiny tools, big budget, or skilled talent of an enterprise.
Well, guess what? You don't need them.
You do need a community of like-minded folks to unlock the power of collective cybersecurity.
And that's the superpower of the Multi-State Information Sharing and Analysis Center.
The Multi-State ISAC provides cyber underserved organizations with protections they otherwise couldn't afford at a price that works for them.
But it's more than just access to services. It's access to a community of peers where your participation protects them and theirs protects you.
Not to mention access to the 24/7/365 CIS Security Operations Center as your full-time public sector cybersecurity partner.
Available as a single organization or state or territory-wide option, the MSISAC membership provides threat intelligence, monitoring, and more to fortify your cyber defense.
Become a member today by visiting cisecurity.org/ms-isac.
Okay, we're back. So, Brock, you've just started on your journey. We're now volunteering you for webinars and things of that nature to tell your story. Yep. Walk us down that path of now working with the tooling, and we're engaging and wanting to obviously assist you in that space. How has this helped you now build a profile and a program and policy?
Well, I love how Maureen portrayed me, you know, as calm, cool, and collected. You know? Yeah, I think I can make some time to work with the team that's offering to help me. Let me check my schedule. Oh, it's wide open. But how it helped me, I've said this in trainings we've done before, both with Maureen and even on my own. I mean, this first connection with you all was literally, for me, it was an answer to prayer, because I needed help. And so when she had reached out and offered to meet with me, and we'll go through one of the tools, the Syscat Pro Assessor, and we'll work on hardening your systems. I needed a foot in the door when it came to an achievable and realistic goal for cybersecurity in our school district. And that tool was the perfect avenue for me to get started. And working with Maureen and the team, what I thought I was doing was getting a tool, getting a quick win, and solving an important problem. What I didn't realize is as I was interacting with her and the team, I was learning and I was growing in my knowledge as a whole on what it would take to secure my school district. I was learning things and terms and ways of doing things that I didn't know before, I hadn't thought of before. And so what that really helped do was get my foot in the door. And not to say you're ever comfortable in cybersecurity, it's not that, but I was now comfortable in learning about cybersecurity when everything I had done before then was out of uncomfortability and nervousness and fear and everything else and pressure. And meeting with that team, it really took some of the weight off my shoulders and maybe the air out of the balloon a little bit, and just kind of set a baseline for me to even begin a security program here at Cityscape Schools. And when we started meeting, we started using the assessor, I started seeing how instead of trying to eat the entire elephant at one time. That's the saying you always hear, which is you hear never do that, and then you go do that yourself. That's and then your mouth's full and your jaw hurts and now you can't eat anything. So that was what that was for me. I took one piece, and that one piece became a rippling effect over the last few years that has allowed me and Cityscape Schools to establish a cybersecurity program. And it all started with that tool in hardening our systems. And then, yes, like you said, getting volunteered, she did ask, she didn't just say, hey, you're coming with me, you know, let's go talk to some other schools. And I remember how much better I felt in what I was doing. I thought, maybe there is another school that feels the way I feel and is going through what I go through. You know, I trust Maureen just about implicitly now because of everything she did to help me along the way. So I said, you know what? You've done so much for me. Let's do it. Let's do the webinar. And it's just been, a really, I won't say wild and crazy ride, but it's been a really great experience from the beginning, from that point forward.
Great story. And not surprising, Brock, you know, that, you know, when you first start on the cybersecurity journey, you think, am I the only person in this entire industry that has no idea what they're doing? And then you get a little more experience, you realize everybody's bumbling around in the dark. And so it's because it is complex. And as you said, you know, trying to solve world peace or world hunger, right, in one tool or one lesson or one, never works. And you can see, you know, this comes up in some of our other podcasts. You know, the goal of CIS is not to publish, you know, golden advice on stone tablets to get handed down the mountain. The goal is help you get there, right? So you have accessibility to the people, to the tools. The tools are being modified based upon your feedback. There's always someone to call. There's always someone to teach. And so to get you into that cycle, right, gives you the comfort of a community that's all struggling with the same thing that you are. And, you know, that's by design from CIS. We're not a distant think tank, you know, publishing giant papers that you'll never have the time to read and that kind of stuff. First few times when I was out on the road talking about our work, and someone said, "Oh, really like, you know, whatever you're doing, the controls or benchmark." I said, "Great, would you like to meet the author, you know, the person that led the team?" And they go, "What? What do you mean, meet the author?" Yeah, you know, it's just so-and-so, it's Kim, right? It's whoever. Yeah, we'll get you right in touch with them. And, oh, you like that tool? Let's call Maureen. You know, that's by design. That's our intention, because we learn, you know, we try to cover, especially those, you know, it's a big calling for us at CIS, right? Those that don't have resources, those that are new to this, those that are struggling to find the on-ramp. So that journey, and again, good on you for sharing, because you found out you're not the only lonely soul in town who has no budget, no staff, and high expectations. I have to ask you one question that comes up when I've talked to educational. Here's what a unique area that I've heard, especially when COVID started. You wind up as a go-between not only the administration, you know, the IT systems that you deal with, but with teachers who are like, quick, I need a new remote thing right now, or a new, you know, and parents who have high expectations, right? And you're right in the middle of that, and the students. Everyone had a different set of expectations, right? I assume you were right in the middle of that, going, wait a minute, you can't just bring in any teaching tool you want. We've got to have a plan and so forth. But what any insight for those of us that went through the early days of COVID?
I was just as shocked as everyone else that K-12 IT was a critical service that must return immediately to office. You know what I mean?
Well,
that was, nice. Yep. Yeah, I did not realize, you know, I thought I'd have to be a firefighter, EMS, hospital. Apparently, we were critical services for K-12. I still have a picture because when I got to the school district, there was one guy, his career started at this school. And he learned everything he knew, but they never hired anyone else. He was their network manager and he did everything else. And then they brought me on. So now there's two of us. At least we're not alone. But we now have to stand up a one-to-one program. You are critical services. Get into the school. We need you to figure this out. And I'll never forget, we did not know how we were going to physically do this. So they offered up an instructional aid. Because what else are you going to do since you don't have class anymore and you're not in person? So we got this wonderful individual who came in and was like, just tell me what to do. She actually transitioned into the IT career field after that. I'm pleased to say she was amazing, and she found out she had a gift when it came to this. So yeah, we found out we were critical services. We found out how to stand up a one-to-one program. We found out how to do remote support. We found out how to manage Zoom rooms. We found out all these things that I never thought I was going to have a chance to do. I got to do all in about a 2-month period. So it was.
Oh, okay. So critical, but you get one additional aid, yep. No additional budget.
Nope.
Right. And you've got a deadline that's physically impossible to just
physically
get back and forth.
Impossible.
Yeah. Yep. All right.
Yep.
Otherwise, yeah, what else are you going to do with your time?
That's right. Right. That was our experience.
My gosh, yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, that wouldn't have popped to the top of many lists as a critical service. But from the perspective of the parents, right, the teachers, the school system, there you are.
Yep. I still have a picture of all three of us surrounded by all these Chromebooks we just bought, you know, that you had to do. They wanted social distancing, mask, and all that stuff. So we have this really far out picture of a giant selfie of us trying to set up Chromebooks because parents are coming tomorrow to come pick them up in hot spots. And I have that picture saved to this day. I just, you know, as tough as that time was, I love that so much because the relationship that grew between us, and then more help was brought in and more teacher's aides and more instructional aides. And the next thing you know, I had a whole team. It was great.
Super.
Oh, yeah.
So out of crisis, there's opportunity.
There's opportunity. That's right. Yeah.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So Maureen, to me, Brock is a storyteller. I think it's fantastic. I love listening to this.
Definitely
I can't wait to see the picture.
Exactly. We need the picture.
I'll send it to you.
Perfect.
Please. Yeah,
we'll
for
link
sure.
That. Link that in the
We've taken Brock stories on the road to to the MSI Stack annual meeting. So we've done two presentations together, and I've certainly shared his experiences in many of the different presentations and workshops I've done after that experience. So a lot of people have gotten to learn a lot and benefit from the experiences that you shared, Brock.
Absolutely. Well, I would think, and again, just from a representation is, and I think Tony, you mentioned it, I'm not the only one, right? It is that a lot of us in the industry have been where you have been, Brock, and it's hard to realize, where is the light at the end of the tunnel? I don't even know where the tunnel is. I don't even know what to do in these spaces. And it's, representatively, it's very important that message be represented. But I think, Maureen, the other thing, and I want to, throw praise, as it were, on the approach that you've taken by, one, demonstrating that the need, being able to bring these stories to bear, and then it allows others to feel comfortable in providing feedback. Yes, I need assistance in this area. And being able to do that is such a strong message. Have you seen, Maureen, now more organizations, K-12, coming forward and saying, yep, we're in the same position, we need help, can you help us in our journey as well?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, so part of the journey that Brock and I did for, about 6 weeks or so, we kind of met for an hour every 2 weeks or so. He'd get little tasks and from me, and he'd go off and do them and then come report back, and we'd talk about what could have been improved and, little tips and things that we could share to document, and then planning to share that out. But once we did share that out, I want to say, I think he started his original system hardening, which was a really good win with the SysCap processor tool. It was that little chunk, I think, that he needed to start his program. Just forget everything else around you. Just let's focus on hardening your systems. And let's take one system and do that. And then, if we get the courage, we can do more. But I think out of that process was he led the discussions and the experience, I think, led to other webinars. So it was kind of like, okay, I've run the report. I've got my state here. I very much am deviating from the CIS benchmarks. that prescribe that best practice configuration. What do I do next? And so as part of that process, we developed, he actually did the work of what do I do next? But during that experience, I captured that. And we did another webinar much after that in August. We did the K-12, how do I get started kind of webinar in June of that year. And then followed on in August, what do I do after I get the results kind of? How do I start my remediation? And you can do it in different ways. You know, it's certainly evaluate and go slowly and understand what it is you're changing. You can also use the CIS build kits to kind of, you know, do that a little faster if you want to get a jump start. But I think what I want to say is we definitely have encountered others with the same, surprisingly, the same circumstance. And they have asked, okay, I ran the report. What do I do next? And it's a quite an easy thing just to say, well, here's the length of the webinar. We've already talked to someone who, you know, who has gone through exactly what you're going through now. So watch this webinar, and there's options to get started past the report, past that initial, I don't know, what it was, a 27% score that you would get after your first system that, scanning your first system that has not been hardened.
You know, that's a great point, and clearly part of the journey. And, you know, this, I've had a chance to go back, Brock, just for your, you know, since it's our 25th anniversary at CIS, I go back to, and I happen to know employee number one when it was exactly one employee, but looking at every word that was written by members of the board, our founders, our early employees, their early presentations, and this idea of measurement was there from day one. You know, and partly because of the personalities of the people. The employee number one happened to be an engineer's engineer, was used to and had worked in IT for hospitals and things like that. So was used to saying, I need to know where I am, or have no ability to go to the next step because I don't know what that looks like. So it was always from, you know, from the very beginning, it's not just here's a set of things to do, but here are the measurement tools. And then pretty shortly after, here's the remediation tools. Here's the path to get you there. And it also turns out there's a psychology, right, to being able to talk about measurement, to say, hey, I am making progress. You know, it doesn't feel hopeless. 27% doesn't sound real good up front, but you know where you are. And then Maureen helps you get through, okay, 27, let's work on, again, forget that elephant thing. Let's take a slice. And this system, this room, this school, you can work your way up. And again, having the tools in place allows you to make progress. And I don't know if this was true in your world, but one of the most frequent things I heard when I was out talking about these things was, this is great advice, Tony, but remember this, my boss has a short attention span. If I don't show progress in 30, 60 or 90 days, I don't have a job. So what can I do quick, right? And that's real life, you know, because your boss, who doesn't understand what you do, is looking for something concrete. And you want to be able to say, you know, with this amount of time, I can, here's where we are. With the amount of time, I can get to here. With a little more budget, I can get to here. With a little more help, I can get to there. And that allows you then to build this program that doesn't look like 100 pages where the boss flips through and just his eyes go glazed, right?
Yep. Yeah. He was just as scared as I was when I did that. So, you know.
A ransomware attack is not a career-enhancing move.
It's not a career-enhancing move.
Yeah. And yeah, this has become a way of life for, you know, for lots of folks. And it's often not, you know, I grew up in big government, right? Defense Department. And, you know, they wonder, who's the sysadmin that let us down, right? Where is my Brock so I can fire him and make an example? Well, wait a minute. This person is not exactly equipped with space age tools. They're not, they don't have a budget. You're not paying them much money and you're giving them kind of vague expectations, right? Protect me from ransomware. Okay. So if there's a failure there, it's more likely it's on the enterprise, not on the frontline individuals. It's just not fair, right? That's the way I saw it back then in arguing with generals over, wait a minute, you know, you're counting on 19-year-old tech school graduates to save you from nation state attackers. That's our fault, right? The system's fault. That's not that poor person's fault.
So Brock, last question. As we finish out the episode today, what would you recommend to other K-12 administrators who have been given the same assignment you were many years ago? How would you recommend that they start on their journey?
So Moraine's phone number is... do you have 20 more of her? No, I know you. Actually, I say that tongue in cheek because I know you do. Because every person I've worked with, I love, Tony, what you said. They are who the organization says they're going to be. Every single person has been, they have their own personalities, they have everything, but they are all the same way when it comes to at least me and everybody else I know that's interacted. So what I would say is, of course, even though this is the CIS podcast, I cannot recommend highly enough to get registered as a K-12 organization with CIS to see what tools that maybe you're doing some things, but you don't know everything, or you're not sure what you don't know. Getting started with CIS was the gateway into this entire world for me. I'll get to talk with school districts around the Dallas-Fort Worth area a lot of times, whether it's one-on-one or at seminars or conferences, whether I get to present or I'm sitting in. And honestly, the CISCAT assessor really is a great starting point for most organizations that are my size or similar, or even larger schools. And I've gotten to sit down with people. I've gotten on meetings, virtual meetings. We've sat down in person and talked through how to allow this to be your entryway to hardening your systems. But then I always refer them back to the info at CI Security email. I refer them to the webinars that go on and the things that are posted, and I'll give them screenshots of things like that. Because especially if you're like me, and maybe you got hired at a school, or you just got this new responsibility of standing up a program, and you don't have a background in this, CIS is, in my opinion, one of the, I won't say it's the unknown resource now. To me, I didn't know much about anything when I got started, and you all have made great strides in helping school districts around the nation. I've watched those numbers grow as far as when I'm in webinars seeing how many more have signed up this month or this or that or the other. But it is one of the most valuable resources that a school has at their disposal, at their availability, in order to get a program started or to get pieces added onto your program that maybe you hadn't thought of before. I make a joke every time. I have one CIS joke, all right? And I am a dad. My son's 4, so I'm allowed to make dad jokes, all right? This sure. is official. Every presentation I do, the joke is, I know it sounds like I wear CIS pajamas when I go to sleep at night, and that's silly. CIS doesn't make pajamas. But in all seriousness,
maybe we could arrange something for you, Brian.
Right.
That would be the greatest day of my life. Don't tell my wife or my son that. So.
That's right.
But this is online. They're probably going to hear it. But this everyone here at this organization has always been willing to help, be a sounding board, kind of give you an idea, give you something you haven't thought of before, or give you material to kind of help you along the way. So that would be my suggestion. Is I was in a meeting, I was in a conference, I was in a webinar, just like whoever's listening to this podcast, and all of a sudden I heard something. If you do this, you can impact this area. And it was about the CISCAT tool. And I thought, okay, I'm going to do that. That was the first and best decision I made in my journey, was not just attending another session, not hearing just another good talk, not just walking away feeling good, and then 2 weeks later, I'm back where I was. I made a decision to fill out that survey Maureen had sent and say, you know what? Pick me. And that was the best decision I've made in my career thus far.
Fantastic. Well, again, that brings us to the end of the episode. I think we're going to have a part two, respectfully, Tony. We're going to have Brock and Maureen back. This is fantastic.
I have no doubt there's more stories in Brock to pull out.
There is.
Fantastic. Well, Brock, I just want to say again, on behalf of CIS, thank you for your advocacy. And it really is motivating to see yourself and really represent K-12 and starting this journey. It's not easy, But being able to tell that story impacts many, and I'm sure you've impacted many, many in the community. So thank you for your advocacy and your continued due diligence in this space. Absolutely fantastic. And Maureen, your leadership as well, bringing Brock to the organization and continuing to help all organizations in this space improve. It's fantastic. And again, to Tony, partner in crime, thank you, sir. It's always great to talk to you.
Always a pleasure, Sean.
Thank you,
sir. Great episode, great guests.
And to our audience, thank you. Questions, comments, concerns, reach out to us at podcast@cisecurity.org. Catch us on YouTube at The CI Security. Remember to subscribe with all your preferred podcast providers for every Wednesday. We'll have episodes like this and much, much more. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the podcast today.
The thoughts and opinions expressed by our podcast guests are solely theirs and do not necessarily reflect those of CIS.
Tune in on Wednesdays for a new episode. And in the meantime, visit our website at cisecurity.org.
Together, we'll continue our efforts of creating confidence in the connected world.